Not doing my hair like Maverick. You see how Maverick's hair was this morning? Spike in the middle. So glad to see each of you today. We're happy you're in the house of the Lord. It's a beautiful sunny morning. No snow, no rain, not cold. It's just a great sunny morning. And as you can see on the screen, we'll talk this morning about God's not done yet. Aren't you glad for that? Because you might be in the middle of something now. You're like, Lord, please don't leave me here. Don't leave me hanging where I'm at right now. And we're going to talk about God is not done yet. You know, we tend to think of our problems being how it is. But our problems are not the end result that God has for us. It's just a journey we're going through. It's a process. We're going to go through problems. We're going to go through seasons we don't like. It's like when you go to the, you're in school and you went to the cafeteria. There are certain days you hated, right? Corn dog days, chicken nugget days, hated them. You like pizza days. You like spaghetti days, whatever it was. You just picked and choosed. We have days we don't always like. We have seasons we don't always want to walk in. And here's the thing, we can't foresee that happening. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring in our lives. We don't know that. We can't predict that. You know, things, we wake up one morning, things are fine, and in a moment, in an instant, things can change. We never know what we're waking up to, but God does. And God's not done yet with your life. And God's not done yet with what he has planned for you. There's a purpose each of us have. That's why we're here. Every life is designed by God. Every person is born on purpose. I want to make that clear, church. I know that there are maybe, you know, you may think, well, you know, this happened and this happened. And I'm not saying that we as people maybe planned every birth, every life, every seed, but God did. God knew it would be here, and God planned it. And so with that plan, he's not going to leave us here to be born without a plan. He's got something for each of us to fulfill and each of us to do, and God's not done yet. Do not let your storm define what God's doing in your life, because many times it's those storms that propel us to a deeper place. What do we do when a storm comes? We take cover, don't we? You know, when I was growing up as a kid, and Melon said she was the same way as a kid, me and Melon both talk about it. We don't understand why our mamas did this. Oh, okay. Well, I don't know why my mama did it. But whenever it used to storm and you were a kid, you couldn't talk. Okay, so it's thunder and lightning outside, so we got to sit here in the dark and be quiet. If I talk, is something going to happen? Is God going to get really mad? I mean, I don't understand why I got to sit here in the storm. Y'all remember growing up that way? The storm would happen, and everybody, shh, 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 pow, shh. Okay. Can I go to the bathroom? You're sneaking, you know. Of course, when you're trying to sneak to the bathroom, you're that scared, and it lightens, you about to jump out your pants, right? Because you're so nervous to even go. You're scared you're going to touch the doorknob, and the lightning goes off. I mean, I had to be still. No lamp. Here's our house. You can't tell the storms. We keep TV rolling, lights on, ovens going, microwaves going. I mean, I know it's probably stupid, but we just keep on rolling. But did you grow up like that, Bruce, where in a storm, he's quiet, lights were out, had to sit still, couldn't be moving around the house? Just yeah, maybe too, one room. I'm like, why do I got to be in one room still? Why can't I be in there doing something? Or, you know? But when a storm comes, we take cover. We protect ourselves. We don't want to get wet or get the wind. You know, I remember we was at the beach a few years ago, and a windstorm came up. Remember that mountain? I left some stuff on the beach. And the kids, poor Christian, was in tears. No, Daddy, no. Don't go back out there, no. Because all of a sudden, this wind came up. It was bad. But I'd left a hat or something out there, and I want to go get it. And so I ran to the beach, and I'm literally, now I'm not a little guy. I'm literally on those little stairs from the beach to the little thing. I get it. I'm not little. I understand. I remember having to hang on to the actual stairs because the wind, I've never done that. The wind was blowing so hard, it was moving me. It was really moving me. And I remember hanging on, and I remember I was really scared, thinking, I couldn't imagine being in a hurricane. I couldn't imagine that kind of force. I did get my hat, and I had a couple of things we left on there, like an umbrella on the beach, or there was a couple of things we had down there, and I went and got them. But I remember how scared I was and how I didn't want to be out there in that wind. When a storm comes, the first thing we want to do is hide. And the first thing we want to do is take cover. But sometimes that's what God wants us to do. It's in that provision of his hiding and that provision of his covering that we see his peace and see his rescue. And so every storm not always bad, church. Every storm not always a mistake. Now, there are storms we sow ourselves, absolutely. I believe in the sowing reaping principle. Some people call it karma. I call it sowing and reaping. That's scriptural. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap. You know, and so I believe in that. But I also believe that storms come into our lives, and are allowed to come into our lives, we see great men of God. I mean, why was Joseph imprisoned for 2 years when he didn't do anything wrong? He was innocent, but he was imprisoned 2 years because Potiphar's wife said, he tried to sleep with me, and he was innocent. But he was in prison 2 years. That was a storm that he didn't deserve. He didn't sow that season, but he got that season because God had a better plan. God wasn't done yet. God wanted Joseph to be more than just Potiphar's helper in his house. God wanted him to be prince of Egypt. So God had a better and a greater and a deeper plan, and God has a better plan for us if we'll realize he's not done yet. So instead of saying, why am I going through this, we ought to be saying, God, while I'm going through this, show me what I need to do. While I'm going through this, show me what you want me to change or what direction you want me to go, because I'm here for a reason. Instead of seeing it as a big, bad giant, let's see it as an opportunity for God to show us something more clearly that we maybe couldn't see before. Because I'm going to tell you something. Whenever panic hits your life, you react differently. You start paying attention. Well, my kids, we've been raising kids now. I know it sounds awful, man. It's like, but understand this. We've been raising kids almost 20 years now. And so there's times that we don't always pay attention to them. We tell them to be quiet, you know. I mean, I know y'all do that, and we shouldn't do that, right? We shouldn't, but we do because they're on our nerves. We're like, go on, we're trying to talk. But let one of my kids get choked at a table, and they got my full attention. I go off the hook, don't I, Melanie? I remember when Christian and Jane were little, and they would get a little bit choked. For some reason, they would be at the table, and I would freak out. And where I told them to be quiet before, I was all on them. I mean, I was on them. Melanie's like, why are you doing that? They're still breathing. And I was just so freaky because it scared me. Sometimes when we get so afraid of something, or it gets our attention, and it points us to, okay, God, I hear you now. You got my attention. What do you want me to do? I hear you, and I see you, and I need you. God, I need you, because I'm not used to being in this place. I don't like being here. Let's start the scripture in Exodus chapter 14. We'll read verses 12, 13, and 14. And this is the story of where Moses had led the people out of Egypt, and they had gotten out of the land of Egypt, but they were on the way out, and they got to what we call the Red Sea, and they were pinned against the Red Sea. People started complaining, saying, Moses, I wish you'd left us out to die in Egypt. We told you to leave us alone, but no, you want to bring us out here. Of course, everybody changes their tune whenever don't go their way. You told us just leave us here, but now we're out here, and we're going to die out here, because they saw the Red Sea in front of them, and they saw Pharaoh's army charging behind them. So they're pinned in the middle. Now, why would God, after 400 years of slavery, hear the cries of his people, and then God step in and send a deliverer, Moses, to deliver the people? And if you remember, there were 12 plagues that hit, or 10 plagues that hit Egypt, and Moses went to Pharaoh on each plague and said, let my people go. No, no, no. Next plague came, let people go. No, no, no. 10 times this happened. I mean, they seen frogs, and they seen water turn to blood, and then ended up seeing their firstborn die. Finally, after that 10th plague, Pharaoh said, go. Take them, take all the provision, and go. So they got their deliverance. So they're marching, they're singing psalms, they're singing hymns, they're happy, they're excited. We're free. Man, we're free. After 400 years of our people being slaves, we're free. God has delivered us. So they're marching along, and then comes the first obstacle, the first storm, the first issue. And all of a sudden, all that God had did was forgotten because of what was now. The present storm began to define where they were in God, not the past victories. That's why it's important we remind ourselves of our past victories. What God did for us yesterday, what God did for us last year, what God did for us back then, because the God's not changed, and the same God that brought you victory yesterday still brings you victory now. I don't care what season has changed or what year we live in. God's still the victor, and we're still victorious in him. Doesn't matter what the world says, or we don't feel it like we used to feel it, or the world's just changed, the church has just changed, the people of God have just changed. Maybe all that's true, but the one thing that hasn't changed is God himself. He says, I am God. I
change not. It doesn't matter if you don't believe me or not. You just won't get healed, but I still heal. It don't matter if you believe I can't provide. I'm going to provide for the ones that still call on my name because I've not changed. I'm still the protector and provider and the redeemer and the healer of all creation. I've not changed. Churches cannot call my name. People can say I don't exist. People can say, find your own way, but I'm still the only way. I'm still the only truth, and I'm still the only life. I'm still God, and I'll never, ever change whether you change or not. That's what he's saying to this generation. I'm still God. Let's start believing him again. God can still do what he's always done. Man, God can still heal your body and change your soul and pick up your spirit and deliver you from your chains and cast out your addictions. God is still the strong, barren, chain-breaking, demon-releasing God that he's always been. It's just the generation don't believe that no more because they believe the hype of the world's trying to tell them and try to teach them. That's old-timey preaching, Jane. That's old-timey, Pastor. Churches don't talk that way no more. Don't preach that way no more. That's why we got zombies walking around feeling good about themselves but knowing nothing about God. Because God is still God, and nothing will ever change that. He's still the God of California. He's the God of Tennessee. He's the God of New York City. He's the God of you and me. And I know God, and Jesus is his name. Hallelujah. That's who we serve. So here are these children of Israel, and they're pinned up. Red Sea in front of them. Now imagine this, church. Imagine you've been released. Let's put it in today's terms. We can understand it. And don't raise your hands if you've been here, okay? We don't want to embarrass you. You ever been in jail? Ever been in prison? Ever wore an orange suit or had a number? You know what I'm talking about. Your parole date's here. You get walked to the front gate, the gate opens up, and you're free to leave. And the guard says, you served your time. You are free. Praise God, I'm free. Hallelujah. So you're walking out, and you get in a car with your buddy who picked you up, and all of a sudden, you get to a border you can't cross. Let's say this. You get out, all of a sudden the cops start coming behind you again at the blue lights. Woo! You're like, oh my gosh, I just got out. Are you kidding me? If you got anything in this car, dude, what is going on? No. Woo, woo. So the car's going behind you. Then you get to a place it's a cliff. So either you gotta go straight off that cliff to get away, or the police go get you. And you're in the middle. And you're sitting there like, I just served my time. I just got out. God, what's going on? I got a cop behind me I can't get away from. A cliff in front of me. Where do I go? This is where Israel was. They had the bad guys. Not the cops are bad guys. They had the bad guys coming after them. Their enemy. They had the sea in front of them. They had nowhere to go. I thought, God, you said we were free. I kept hearing Moses, that old same line, 10 times, let my people go, and here we are, and we're gone. But now we're caught again? Are you kidding me? Where do we go from here? What do we do? And they start whining to Moses, I can't believe you did this. You brought it. I mean, where is their faith to see that God kept them from 10 plagues? None of them touched, and the Bible says none of those plagues touched anybody that was covered by the blood. None of them. But yet they complained and they grumbled. So here we are where Moses, verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone. Here they are whining. Now they'd rather be left alone here that we may serve the Egyptians. Boy, that got them a long way, didn't it? Making bricks their whole life for nothing. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. It's better we serve the Egyptians that we die here. You know, it's kind of like our mentality now. I want to die doing it my way versus, you know, die doing it God's way. I'd rather die doing it this than doing it God's way. God had a plan that wasn't going to end because the Red Sea was there. Big deal. So was a body of water. He made that water. He can do what he wants to with it. He can make it disappear if he wanted to. He could have sucked it dry if he wanted to. He could have made it relocate. God could have done anything he wanted. So here they are, whining. I wish you left us alone. We should have just died back there. But Moses said to the people, fear ye not. Stand still. Maybe that's where my mom and dad got the thunderstorm thing. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. Stand still and watch the salvation of God. Does it matter? Now, I often wonder, as Moses, was he kind of scratching his head when he got there too? I mean, can you imagine, you know, he's all pumped up, you know, and they're singing, and he's like, yeah, I'm the man. I'm the man. Just let him out of Egypt. God, we're on the way. He's carrying his staff. Then all of a sudden he gets to the water. He's like, okay. I see dust in the background. They're coming after us. I see more than 3 feet of water right here in front of me. What do I do? I'm sure he had that thought. God, what do I do here? So we only hear the Moses that's strong and bold, but I bet you he had a moment of gulping in his throat. Okay? God, plan B. Okay, I thought we were good, and here we are stuck. I've got 2 million people behind me with a bunch of animals and kids and women. What am I going to do with this? Where do I go from here? But here he is. He told the people, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this day. For the Egyptians, boy, I love this, who you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Wow, let that sink in. This was a prophecy of Moses. This is a prophetic word Moses had, because he didn't know what was going to happen probably at this moment exactly. He just spoke what God told him. You're going to see the Egyptians no more forever, because I'm not done yet. Just wait and see. I'm not done. I didn't bring you this far to die. I didn't bring you this far to drown. I didn't bring this far to leave you alone. I didn't bring you this far to look bad. You're going to fulfill the plan I've got. When I said I'm going to give you a land, I'm going to deliver you, I meant that. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to give you that land. I'm going to take you to that place. It's not going to stop short of it, of victory. Understand, God's not going to stop us short, church, of walking into what God has planned for us. His plan for us cannot be altered by the enemy's plan. It can't be. Now, we can doubt. We can sow the wrong seeds. We can make some wrong choices. But the plan God has for us, it will be realized if we will follow God and trust him. Understand that God is not done yet. It may look like your storm is it. But every storm we've ever been through, it passes. All that rain we had last time, remember that? Like it rained like every day. Well, you know what? Eventually it stopped. And it passed. Every storm passes. Every storm blows. It may stay for a while, but it's always, you know, the natural pattern of things, weather's always moving. Storms are always moving. They never just stop. Maybe going 2 or 3 miles an hour, but they're moving. Storms are always moving slowly. And then it passes on. The sun comes back out. You're not going to stay in your storm because God's not done yet. It may look bad now. You may be at the lowest point of your life, but understand God's not done yet, church. He's not going to leave you there. He's not going to leave you there. That's why he created the kingdom of God. That's why we have that waiting on us. He's not going to leave us here in this earth the way it is, I mean. He's not going to leave us in this natural kingdom. There's a better kingdom for us because God prepared that for us because he wasn't done. I mean, we're born and we live, but aren't you glad he wasn't done with that? There's a better place we go when our time is up, that we go on to be with the Lord forever with no more sickness or sorrow or pain. That's a better place, a better covenant, a better thing, because he wasn't done yet. We are not done yet, church, in this journey, and God's not done with our lives. Don't let your storm put you under. Your storm will pass. Surely, as I stand here, and I'm telling you, we go through storms too. There have been more storms in my life. When I started this church, that's what I was talking to my mom about, this things in my life began to happen personally. It all began, I'm going to tell you, my life was pretty good until I started church. Was it not, Melon? It was good. There was joy, there was peace, there was happiness. We were living our lives and we just enjoying things. And when the church began is when the enemy began to attack. I mean attack. Over and over and over. There's been dark places me and Melanie have been in that nobody knows about. I mean some dark places, some dark seasons. There have been some seasons, church, that, you know, I mean, I've told Melanie, you know, woke up in heaven, might not be such a bad thing some days. I've been there. I know. We've been in some seasons. We may have our happy face on, like the little smiley face on the screen, but there are some dark seasons that we've encountered, some painful moments, some times that Melanie is just heaved with sorrow, and pain. Times I didn't know where to go sometimes. You know, I didn't want to go home. I didn't want to come here. There's times I didn't know where I wanted to go. Where do I go, God? Where do you want? I don't know where to go anymore. I know what it's like to be in a storm. So I know what I'm talking about. I know what it's like when there seems like there's no escape. I know what it's like to be suffocated by the enemy as I lay in bed at night thinking I'm dying as I lay there. I've been there. I know what it's like to have dreams of torment. I know what it's like to worry, and you do too, about your children, to worry about your health, to worry about your future. I know what that's like. And so I have to remind myself that God, you're not done yet. Though the storm is bad, though the darkness is heavy, though the blanket seems to cover everything I see, you're not done yet. As I look at what I'm battling today, right now, I've got to look beyond that. Because, see, our problems are really the Red Sea as they lay in front of us. But we got to see that Red Sea divided. And we got to see the victory on the other side. We got to have a greater vision that we're going to cross that other side. That we're going to get to it. Because it's not done yet. You know, back in the old days before they discovered how the oceans ran, people really thought, 1500s, 1600s, that the earth was flat. And they would see these ships go off. They watch them in a telescope, and they would disappear. And they thought they were dropping off the earth. But see, there was much more beyond that. That ship wasn't done yet. It kept on rolling. It kept on going. We may see at the end of our cliff thinking, this is it. We may be in a moment of desperation. We may be in a moment of suicidal thought even, to think it'd just be easier if I wasn't here. Be easier on them if I wasn't here. Because I'm a burden, I'm a pain. I cause them but trouble. I can't fix myself, I can't fix somebody else. What's my purpose? That's a storm that I think all of us at some point may have encountered to a degree, maybe some more extreme than others, but we get frustrated with life sometimes. It's hard. You know, when you lose people that you love, when you get diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and when you have a tragic child that is lost in an automobile accident, those are storms, and those are moments that you question, God, why is it so painful? But realize God's not done yet, because you're still here. You're still here. You've not pulled the trigger. You've not ran off the cliff. You've not died of a disease or a sickness. You're still here, and you're here because God's got a purpose for that. God's got a reason for that, because God's not done with you yet. God is not done. You know, Billy Graham, I'm sure, wanted to go on after his wife Ruth passed. I'm sure when she passed, he was like, you know, I miss her. And, you know, God, if you want to take me home, I'd be okay with that. But see, God had many more years for Billy Graham to be on the earth. He wasn't done yet. He may be done now. We don't know. Nobody knows that. But he wasn't done then. He wasn't done then. Moses is telling the people of Israel, stand still and see the salvation of God. The Egyptians you see today, you won't see them again forever. Because I'm going to do something about it. See, God's able to remove your enemies, your giants, your storms. He's able to cause them to go away. He's able to remove them forever. There are people I know of that's had drug addiction, alcohol addiction, nicotine addiction, that have, God has touched their lives, and they were able to stop and break free forever. There wasn't no in and out or no ladder to climb or no steps. Some don't do that, but I've seen the delivering power of God do that, where they laid it down and said no more, because God gave them that delivering power to do that. If we'll just stand still, our enemies can be gone. Those battles we have can be removed. Even if we still know they're around, we're not controlled by that anymore. We're not controlled by it. Hear the next verse, Jeremy. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall keep your mouth shut. I'm tired. That's new English. That's a new translation. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold. That's what it means. You shall hold your peace. Just be quiet. Let me handle it. I'm going to fight for you. It's kind of like, I'm very protective of Melanie and the kids. Now, we argue and we fight. Of course we do. We're a regular family. But you let somebody touch my children, touch my wife, even if they deserve it, and I'm on you like a banana's on a peel when it's still on. That wasn't a good example. Because the peel comes off the banana. You know what I mean? I'm going to be on you. There was a guy at Best Buy. Which is a Best Buy one day. It's been about a year ago, year and a half ago. And this guy was flirting with Melanie. Now, I got Melanie's ego down because he tried to make a sale is all it was. I knew that. But anyway, he was flirting with her. He's the kid. I mean, he's young. He's on commission, baby, commission. Anyway, he was in his early 20s or something, mid-20s. And do you mind me asking? No. Here's why I didn't like. Melanie participated. She said, well, how old are you? I'm curious. Yes. Mm-hmm. Playing the game, yeah. But anyway, when I heard, I was on the other side of the store looking at something, and when she came over and told me that, you did. And I was about to go over there and tell that Best Buy guy that his Best Buy was to leave my wife alone or he was going to be out the door. And Melanie had to literally, James, let's go. No, don't. I was on fire. Wait, here's why I tell her, slide your sleeve off your shoulder a little bit. Go and talk to him. Because I'm secure. I mean, she's got this, guys. Where else would she go? Really? But I was on fire. And I'm going to tell you something. If I was defending Melanie, I would say the same thing. I'm going to fight. Look, you be quiet. You get back. I've got this. You get out of the way. I'm going to handle this for you. You don't say nothing. I'm going to fix this problem. That's what God is saying. I'm going to fix this. I'll fight for you. Just hold your peace. Don't be whining. Don't be complaining. Don't be grumbling. Don't be trying to do it yourself. Just let me fight for you. And that's the hardest thing for us to do is let other people defend us, isn't it? Other people fight for us. Because we're so independent as human beings that we want to get our hands in it. And we think we're so smart we can fix it. And we're not that smart. None of us have that kind of IQ. God fights it for us if we'll let him. And how much easier is it to go say, okay, God, I got this. You know, back in the old days when I was a little boy, wrestling, well, I guess I still do it. I don't watch wrestling anymore. It's too stupid. But back in the old days, when wrestling, you know, the Ricky Steamboat and Ric Flair, you know, and all them boys, they would tag. They'd come in, and they would wrestle for a while, and then the guy would reach over the ropes to get tagged. Y'all remember that? And when they tagged, it means that the other guy could jump in and then start beating up on that guy and, you know, helping him. But you had to tag first. So them guys would be reaching out, and they'd be trying to reach, you know. Of course, I know it was acting back then, too, but it was a lot better. And they'd be reaching out. They would tag. Then they would jump in. He goes, okay, you got this. That's what God is saying. Here, tag me. Just tag me. I'm here. Hello, I'm God. G-O-D is in the house. G-O-D in the house. Raise the roof. I'm here. Tag me. Just tag me. But we don't. We just keep fighting. I got it, God. I got this. I'll handle this devil. You can't make your coffee without burning it. You can't handle the devil. The devil, we got to have God to fight for us. We have to have him fight for us. He wants to fight for us. He loves to fight for us. He wants to stand in our place and say, this is my child, like we do our own children. I've got them. Remember when your children were little, maybe they still are, and you're in a car, you hit your brakes real hard, and you're driving. He's in the back seat. If there you go. What do you do? Boom. Right? Bus stop sign. It goes out quick. Remember being a car mom with a little boy, and we'd be driving, and she had to hit her brakes hard or almost hit a car, and boom, that arm come out. About break my ribs. What? I mean, it's instinct. You ain't got to think about it. I mean, just instinct. That's what God does. This is mine. That's my child. Can't touch that one. Mm-mm. Leave her alone. Can't get through this. He wants to defend us. And Moses is saying, just let God fight for you, and just be quiet and hold your peace. Watch what I'm about to do. Can you imagine? Now, what they say, nobody really knows because nobody was there. We know what Scripture says. But what a lot of scientists and stuff say is that there was a great wind that came up, and that wind blew the waters apart and divided the waters. You know, a great wind blew, and the waters stood on her, you know, stood up and made a, you know, dry aisle in the middle. Can you imagine being one of the people that saw that happen? Can you imagine being there and seeing that water begin to start bubbling and all this, and all of a sudden, and it just stood there. And they walked across, the Bible says, they walked across dry land. All 2 million plus people walked down that middle aisle on dry land while the water stood obeyed at the command of God. And then God's promise and prophecy came true, because once the Israelites crossed over, here come the Egyptians right after them. The same path that God used to deliver the Egyptians, I mean the Israelites, was the same path God's going to use to destroy the enemy. So here they come charging. And I bet they thought, oh, Lord, here they come. They're coming. What now? They're coming after us. Moses, just watch. Then all of a sudden, the wind stopped. Whew, the water came down. And just like the prophecy says here, they saw their enemies no more forever. They were drowned. This is what God does for us, fight for us, because he's not done yet, church. Your present storm does not equal your end result. Your present storm doesn't equal your end result. Remember that. We tend to think of what we're in as how it is, how it always will be. No, it's not. Seasons change. Right now, the trees are bare. It gets dark really early. It's cold. It's nasty. It's the ugliest time of the year right now. But before long, something's going to happen. You'll see them dogwoods start blooming. And you'll start seeing the grass get a little bit greener. And you'll start hearing the buzzing of bees. You'll start seeing flowers come forth. And all of a sudden, winter gives way to spring. A wonderful time of year, of new birth, of new creation, of life again upon the earth. We're not always in winter. What if we always were in this season? It'd be very depressing, wouldn't it? But man, we got spring coming, and then we got summer coming. Flip-flops and shorts. Don't we love that? Suntan oil. Whoosh. Look like a wet fish walking around. Then we got fall. The Blue Ridge Mountains at fall. Man, it's gorgeous. All the colors of the trees. And then here comes winter again. But it always gives way to a new dawn. Your storm is going to give way to a new dawn. Trust me. You're not going to always be where you're at right now. God's not done yet. You hang on. You believe God. You trust him. Your season may be really long right now. You may be like, this season is not going to end, but it will get better. It will get better. Your season will change. You're not going to stay where you're at. Let God fight for you. Trust him with that. Go to one more scripture. Give me 5 more minutes if you would. This is Mark chapter 4. This is when Jesus calmed the storm on the sea. We'll go through this quickly because I want to get my point out through here. The same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, talking about Jesus. And they awake him and said, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. We need a great calm in our storm, don't we? Jesus is that calm that speaks to us and gives us calm in the middle of our storm. He's the one that gives us rest and peace in the middle of what we're at. That verse opened up by saying, Jesus said, let us go to the other side. So he had already declared that word. That word couldn't be changed. Jesus declared that word, let us pass. So it didn't matter what happened in the middle. None of that mattered to Jesus, because he knew the end result. The storm wasn't the end result. The end result was the other side. That was the end result. And that's what Jesus spoke. We're going to the other side. That was what he knew would happen. So that's why he was able to sleep and rest and not worry. So what? It was wavy and windy and rain was coming. It didn't matter. That wasn't the end result. The end result was them waking him up saying, Master, we're here. That was the end result. Master, we're here. Wake up. We're on the other side. The storm didn't affect Jesus, but it affected his disciples because all they saw was the storm. They forgot what he had said. Okay, we're in a storm, but we'll get through it because the Master said we're going to cross over. Now, why would he say we'll cross over if we're going to drown in the middle? He wouldn't have said that. We're going to cross over. He woke up, said, Peace, be still. And the very wind and the very... I had a little video I was going to show you, but I didn't have time this morning to do it. The wind and the all the roaring stopped. And they were amazed, man. How? Who is this man that even the weather obeys him? The weather obeys him. I mean, man, you talking about climate change? Hello? I think God's got that, don't you think? He controlled the weather. That's what he did. Doesn't matter what storm you're in now, God's not done yet. Not going to leave you there. Brenda's been as sick as a dog for 2 months. I about deactivated her membership. But it's playing, Brenda. But I knew that the storm would pass. And I knew she'd get through it. And she did. And she got a little sick again. But she'll get through this. It'll pass. Whatever season you're in, it won't always be that season. There's a better season coming for you. Trust God and wait on God. It will pass. God's not done yet. There's so much left, church, for us in this world. God's not done. I was proud of Keevan. I want to brag on Keevan Carter a little bit. Y'all know Brother Keevan. He called me yesterday. We was talking. He was up in a mountain somewhere at a gas station getting gas. And got talking to this guy, something about the Lord. Something happened. The guy was an unbeliever. Says something. So Keevan just, you don't believe in Jesus? And started talking about Jesus and talking about this. And so the guy kind of says, what makes you think you're so right? And he began to tell stuff that God done for him. Healed him of cancer. You know, Keevan, when he had his heart attack, one of his heart attacks, he had... The damage of his heart was the size of a half dollar in his heart. He went back recently, and it shrunk to the size of a pencil lead. So God had done something there. So he started telling this guy what God had done in his heart, how God healed him of pancreatic cancer. And he said, I've got to tell you, brother. He said, what it was, I think what opened the whole conversation up was the gay thing. Something about, a comment was made there by somebody, about a gay thing, and he said, that's how you Christians are. You're haters. He said, we're not hating. Who's hating? Nobody. Hey, I understand this. I want to ask you this as a pastor's church. We talk about that issue sometimes. I'll bring it up. I'll address it. But how many of you really hear Christians? Do you hear any of your Christian comrade going out saying, I hate you because you're gay? Do you hear that? I don't hear that as Christians. We talk about how it's a sin in God's eyes. Yeah. But we don't go around saying, I hate you, and using bad words and slang terms for them and saying, you shouldn't do that, and I hate you, and da-da-da, and you know, you disgust me, and you're a pig. And we don't say that, but they say we do because they don't want to hear the truth. It's just like an alcoholic. No alcoholic wants to hear you got a drinking problem. No, I don't. I can drive fine. I'm going that four-lane road. It's only two lanes. I'll stay in the middle. Yeah, you got a problem. When you got to take something before you even get out of the bed, you got a problem. Let's be honest. When you don't even know yet how you feel, I'll do it in case. You got a problem. Nobody likes to hear that. But anyway, Keevan got all into this and says, look, brother, he told me the whole conversation. I was amazed. He said, it's my job. I'm an ambassador for Christ to tell you about Jesus and about heaven and hell. And said, I've sown the seed now. You can do what you want to with it. But here, I love what he said here. He goes, but if you end up in hell, you remember this face that somebody told you about heaven. I thought that's so funny. But he was, you know, witnessing. I thought that's what we should be doing. We should be witnessing to people like that, you know, and sharing that. And you know, a lot of us don't. It's hard. I know it's hard for a lot of people to do that. But, you know, God's not done yet with you. No matter how you feel, you make them barely walk today. You don't mean God's done with you. Do what God wants you to do. This storm's going to pass. It's going to pass. Bruce, come on up here, brother, if you would. We'll play out. Get you ready for a closeout song. I tell you what I want you to sing, if you don't mind. I'm going to make a request. Here's your CD, by the way. That one you sung, I really like that dance. That slow song that really moved me. We had the altar call at New Year's Eve. You know what I'm talking about? Hang on a second. I'm going to have Bruce sing this song, and as he sings this, I'm going to open the altar up. As he's singing this song, if God is speaking to you in any way this morning, you just need some time with him while he sings this song to come up here and pray. Talk to God. God knows what you need. You ain't got to come to a booth and confess all your sins to anybody personally. You just come to the altar. God knows your heart, knows what you need today. As he sings this song, this will be our altar time. And when he gets done, we'll, you know, Lord willing, we'll close out our service. But as he sings this song, if you want to pray, listen to the words of this song. It's a beautiful song. And just come and have your time with God this morning.
As I'm kneeling in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm adding for joy that everything's gonna be alright. I see another battle out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. And he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging seas, spoke to the winds, they hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue every time you called? Walked right beside you so you wouldn't fall. I left all of heaven to die for your sins. I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. He said, do you remember how far you come? Take a look behind you, what I brought you from. And every time that you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you think that I wouldn't see you through? And he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging seas, I spoke to the winds, they hushed and I gave you peace. And didn't I run to your rescue every time you called? I walked right beside you so you wouldn't fall. And didn't I leave all of heaven to die for your sins? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. And he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging seas, I spoke to the winds, they hushed and I gave you peace. And didn't I run to your rescue every time you called? I walked right beside you so you wouldn't fall. And didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sins? Searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. And he said, I walked on the water. I calmed the raging sea. Spoke to your winds. They hushed. And I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Every time that you call, I walked right beside you so you wouldn't fall. He said, I left all of heaven just to die for your sins. I searched until I found you, and I would do it all again. Yes, he said, I walked on the water and I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the winds, they hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Every time you call, I walked right beside you so you wouldn't fall. And didn't I leave all of heaven to die for your sins? Searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again.
Keep playing that, Bruce. Can we stand up, church, if you don't mind standing with me? And take someone's hand beside you this morning, would you? Oh, Lord. God, I pray for your love, your power, all of who you are. Fill this place right now. For every hand that is joined, sweep across this body right now and just touch us. Touch us in a special way, God. For those walls we have up, God, I pray you break them down right now. Every wall that stands that says it's not going to come down, God, right now you can cause that wall to fall. God, for every thought that's against you, every thought of that you're against us, that you don't love us, that you're angry at us, God, I pray those thoughts be dismissed right now. You're a God of love, a God of redemption, a God of mercy, a God of healing. You love us so much, God. We can't outrun your love. We can't out-sin your love. We can't out-rebel your love. Your love is so powerful and so great and so wonderful that it swallows us up. It overtakes us. It overshadows us, God. And I pray as we join hands, we feel that love right now. Your love. You've not abandoned us. You've not left us. You've not forsaken us. You've not orphaned us. We are not in darkness, but we are in your light right now, God. Your hand is on us. We are your child by design and by purpose. We are not a mistake. We are not an accident. It is what it is because you said for it to be that way. And we claim victory in this house. And we claim your victory. Fight our battle, God. Go before us and do a new work in our hearts. Soften our hearts. Soften our minds that we will know who you are. And we will serve you all of our days. You are God and you change not. And we give you honor and praise that we can feel your presence right now. In the name of Jesus, we declare it done. We leave here refreshed, healed, redeemed, restored, uplifted. The darkness flees, the light's filled in. We leave here the new hope. Lord, a new excitement, a new joy, a new peace, a new satisfaction. Our hunger has been filled. Our thirst has been quenched because of you, God. Nothing satisfies but you. And I give you praise for that. Satisfy these hungry hearts in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all can be seated if you wish. Thank you, Father. Glory to God.